In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God tells King Saul to destroy Amalek. And he was not to spare anyone from among them, including their animals. And yet, if you read through the chapter, you find that Saul did not destroy them. Instead, he killed most of them. But he saved the king and the best of the animals. It is Samuel who confronts Saul about this. And we hear Saul saying to Samuel in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 24, "I have sinned, for I transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Saul feared the people more than God. And that lack of fear cost him his kingship. God was to take away his blessings for Saul. There are a lot of things that we can fear in life. We can fear the future, maybe, or maybe we can fear losing our job or fear of failure. We could add list upon list of what we fear. And many people are trapped by these fears, including Christians. And while these fears are increasing, there is one fear that is decreasing, and that is the fear of the Lord. It's not just decreasing in the world, it is also decreasing within the Lord's church. And yet the Bible commands that this is the fear that we should have. Author by the name of Robert B. Strimple, he says there is a convergence of awe, reverence, adoration, honor, worship, confidence, thankfulness, love, and just fear in the phrase, the fear of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, he starts the conclusion of his oracle with the words that we find in verse 16. He said, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Those who fear the Lord are the ones who got God's attention. And God wrote their names down. And after we read in this chapter, we find that talking with a group of Jews who feared the Lord, we gather today to worship with our fellow Christians, our family, if you will. We come to sing and to pray, to commune, to hear the scriptures. And as a church, we fear the Lord. We have a desire to study, to know and to try to the best of our ability, to put the things that we have learned into practice. Things that God teaches. And as a church, we fear the Lord when we come together. We take the knowledge that we receive and we practice these things. It is the same idea, if you will, of what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 with the Bereans. That they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was preaching was true. And Paul would tell the Philippian church in Philippians 4 and verse 9, "What you have learned and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be in you." Let's look at what happens when we fear the Lord. Malachi 3 and verses 17 and 18. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In that day I will make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve God and him that does not serve him. You know, a lot of the things that we learn through historical records, especially those things written in the Bible, have been proven because of Chronicles. And not Chronicles of the Jews, and though we do have 1st and 2nd Chronicles that give us the history and the lives of the kings of Israel. But even the Babylonian kings and the Sumerian kings all had their chronicles. And they were written down that told what this king did and what the people in that country and that nation did. One of the more familiar ones to us is King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. The night that he had trouble sleeping and he had his people bring in the chronicles and read to him. And that is where he found that Mordecai had saved his life. And then he asked him, he said, what did we do for him? And as a result of that, it leads to the account of Haman's hatred for the Jews. So the scroll of remembrance is not nothing new. So Malachi records that God also has a book of remembrance. Now, God certainly doesn't need to write down anything to remember anything. But it is a way for us to have an understanding that there is a record within God himself of who fears him. We want our names written in that book of remembrance, don't we? We want us to be there when the roll is called up yonder. We want to fear and honor the Lord because we know that our God claims his own, that he takes care of his treasured people. Now you might be thinking that if he's taking care of me, why do I suffer so much? Why does everything happen to me? You know, it seems like when we get out from under one thing, we're weighed down with another. And God has never promised to keep us away from those things. But he has promised us a reward if we endure. And that is what we have to look forward to. When the destruction comes, it will be the wicked that are destroyed, and we, the faithful, will be saved. Question arises, are our names in that book? John had written two very important books that we have in the Bible, the Gospel according to John and also the Revelation. And John writes down what he sees happening in heaven in Revelation chapter 20. I'll read verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let's go to a parallel passage, a passage from the book of Malachi that sounds very familiar to this. Malachi chapter 4 in the first three verses. For Malachi, he writes here, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all of the proud, yes, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You shall go forth and grow up as calves, stalls. Like the sound of that? I do. There is an eternal distinction between the wicked and the righteous. And when the day of the Lord comes, we who are of God's possessions, who fear his name, will experience healing. We who have spent our lives being burdened or oppressed will grow up like calves from the stall. If you ever get an opportunity to go to Happy Cow Creamery down 25, you'll be amazed at what they do with their cattle. The cattle gets the best grass that you could eat, and they only allow the cows to eat just the tops of the grass because that's where all the nutrients and most of the milk is generated. But when the cows give birth, they separate the cows from their mothers, and they take care of them separately. They are protected in a stall, and they are fed their mother's milk. They are cared for. We will be cared for just like that. We will be free from the dangers of the world itself. God will look after us. But there is, before the judgment day comes, another promise. Because Malachi, he tells us about a change that will take place because a messenger will go before the Lord. In verses 5 and 6 of Malachi chapter 4, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers of the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, many say that John the Baptist may be this specific person. But there is no doubt here that we as Christians also have the responsibility to share the message of God that turns the hearts of the fathers and of the children of God. If you've got some time sometime, sit down and start reading through the book of Psalms. Because David has a wonderful way with words. Oftentimes we can find a lot of comfort in those words, knowing that a lot of what David had went through and the people went through, that we still face the same issues and the same problems. But we can find comfort in those words. In Psalm 19, David writes these words for us in verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the law of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and the keeping of them is a great reward." We tell ourselves that we're not to fear anything. Jesus was trying to get that message across in the Beatitudes. We are not to be anxious. We are not to be worried about things, but Our human nature is always going to override that, even though we know what it says. But we must never, ever lose our fear of the Lord, because anything that man or situations can do to us is paling in contrast to what the Lord can do. Do not fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the body and the soul. The fear of the Lord grants us tremendous promises and great rewards. Let us never, ever lose that fear. The reading of God's word has been opened to you. The choice now becomes, what will we do with that knowledge? Promise of life is for those who fear the Lord, and that has not and never will change. Until the day our Savior returns to take His children home, we must fear the Lord. And fearing the Lord requires a faithfulness to His commands. The message of hope, love, and grace is ours to take. The promise of our names being written in God's book of life is ours to receive if we will just trust and obey. If you are not a child of God, this day we pray that you will think on these things, that you will remember the words that were spoken, to allow the fear of the Lord to dwell in your hearts and to make the decision so that your name will be written in the book of life, the book of remembrance. It is now that we'd love to give you that opportunity to make that decision, to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through repentance and confession and baptism, your name will be written in the book of life. And if you remember and remain in fear of the Lord the rest of your life and obey His commandments faithfully, you will be assured of a promise being fulfilled in heaven for you. And if you are a child of God, and if your fear of the Lord has waned over the years, today is the day to bring it back, to make sure that your name is not removed from that book. If there's anyone that has a need this evening and the need to answer the invitation, we praise you. Come as together we stand and sing.